You know, when you talk like that, I actually get hard.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's October 1st, 2009. Time for your Gitmo Nation Media Assassination, episode 135.
This is No Agenda.
Unsure if we have a government or not today at the start of the country's new fiscal year, and coming to you from the minimum security containment cell in Gitmo Nation West, San Francisco, California, I'm Adam Curry.
And it's garbage pickup day here in northern Silicon Valley. I'm waiting. I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill
in the morning.
You think they'll make it? Do we still have service?
I'm thinking. I just saw a truck go by.
You know, have you ever... I was in New York City during the big garbage strike.
I was in New York City during one of the garbage strikes,
my
too.
My goodness. You know, you really don't want that to happen. You
it
really
just piles
don't.
Up.
And rats come out of rats. And I'm not just talking about the people who live in New York. Rats come out of every nook and cranny.
Yeah, and the size
it's
of
nasty.
Raccoons.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, you can talk with them. You can have a nice little chat with these rats in New York. They're huge. Today is the start of the new fiscal year for our country, and I'm confused. Do we have a budget? Does government have to shut down, or what's the deal?
Why would we have to shut down? We just borrow money. People, you know what? You're always down on this. The fact of the matter is, people love to loan us money.
Well, you think it's going to stay that way forever?
No.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
But it's not ending today.
No, it's not. It's not. But I'm just looking at the news, and I'm thinking, wow, there is so much shit going on that just, you know, you could get depressed.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, there's some good news, kind of, you know. Unfortunately for you, it's real news.
Oh, my goodness.
And now, back to real news.
You're starting my day off just right, Johnny boy.
So I think Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel might be breaking up.
Finally, Justin is within my grasp.
Well, I was thinking Jessica's within mine, but have your own choices. They call it the most boring Hollywood relationship in the history of gossip, the gossip rags.
Yeah, because they did nothing exciting.
Well, they're not, you know, they're just functionaries. They do their job and, you know, they're not really
They do the job and don't bump into the furniture and they get out. I like that.
That was big news.
Yeah, thanks. That's exciting.
Well, since we're on real news, let me just get a couple of clips out of the way. Because, we never talked about the Emmys, which you probably didn't watch.
No. I watched almost all of the Emmys and... let me just give you my assessment really quickly. First of all, Neil Patrick Harris, Doogie Howser, MD, and now he's also on How I Met Your Mom, I think.
Yeah.
Is the name of the show. Yeah. I liked him. I think he did a great job.
I think he did, too. You know, he got his chops doing that by doing the Tonys.
The Chonies,
and he did the. He was on one of the talk shows, and it was so funny because, he's an out gay. And he
said. Oh, really?
He says, "You know."
I did not know that. Seriously, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, and he says, he said on the thing. He says, "Well, you know, the Tonys. You know, so he had some." Now, he unfortunately just lost the joke, but he had some self-deprecating gag about the Tonys being like pretty much. He says, "You know, it's you know they have to have a guy like me and something like that." So they put him on charge of this. And what I liked about him, I agree with you. In fact, somebody, if you want to play the Jeff Probst clip where he wins the award, Jeff Probst is the guy who's on Survivor.
Okay, awesome. And the Emmy goes to. Let's see. Come on.
Jeff Probst, Survivor.
Jeff Probst comes from Wichita, Kansas, also home to Buster Keaton, Vera Miles, Ed Asner, Don Johnson, and Kirstie Alley. Growing up, he would turn on the TV after his parents had gone to sleep and watch Johnny Carson until his eyes got blue.
Thank you very much. Neil Patrick Harris, this is how you host the Emmys.
Oh,
nice job.
Yeah, I did hear this, yeah.
Yeah, but then listen to the rest of this crap.
I am thrilled and honored to accept this on behalf of the entire Survivor crew. We build the show together on the beaches and in jungles.
This is the reality category.
I'm honored to be the face of Survivor. And tonight, I also want to share this with anybody who has a dream, because I am living my dream right here in this moment. If you have a dream, dream big, pursue it with a passion. In the words of the great storyteller Joseph Campbell, the adventure you're ready for is the one you get. Life is short. Go for it. Thank you.
Joseph Campbell never said that.
Really?
Go for it.
But John, don't ruin my moment, because I was on the couch at home going, yes, yes, I have a dream. Yes, yes.
Joseph Campbell. He's in the words of the immortal Joseph Campbell, go for it, dude.
Who's Joseph Campbell? Did he make Campbell's soup?
No, Joseph Campbell's this very famous kind of anthropological analyst who's a professor that a bunch of people, your friend John Doerr is a big fan of Joseph Campbell. And he did a whole series of analysis of myths, world myths, and he's a very ponderous academic type. And if anybody's going to be saying go for it, it's not
it's
him.
Not him. Well, what was interesting is I always look at the overnight ratings for stuff like this, because I know that these big award shows are becoming less and less relevant to the audience, to the industry. Yeah, very exciting. Now, it was spun interestingly. Where on I don't have the exact headlines, but some of it was like 20% more viewership than last year, and another headline I think in Variety read second lowest ratings ever.
There you go. I love that.
Which is exactly
this
the truth.
This is the point I'm always making constantly, which is you can take anything and twist it positively.
Twist it however you want. Right. So Variety, of course, loves to say, "Hey, it was the second lowest ever," because they're kind of snarky. But the thing that was so interesting to me and which really hit home for television media, not for the stuff we're doing, John, is that as the night went on and these shows that are critically acclaimed like 30 Rock, which, by the way, I'm very proud of Beth McCarthy, who was nominated for Best Director. I work with her for like 5 years at MTV. She's a MTV alum. That these shows that are very critically acclaimed but really have no ratings and people aren't watching them, as these shows start to win awards, people started tuning out. It's like you could see the ratings go all the way down as all these esoteric, 800,000 viewer type shows started to win awards. No one gives a crap. They really don't. And it just shows how incestuous that whole ordeal is. And indeed, the only good thing was Neil Patrick Harris. He did a good job, but even I couldn't stick with it.
He wasn't getting in the way of the show, and he was just like a really good MC in an very old fashioned style.
Here's a Joseph Campbell quote from the chat room: "Computers are like Old Testament gods, lots of rules and no mercy." According to Sparky J in the chat room.
That would be
that
something.
That seems more like a Joseph Campbell quote, doesn't it?
Yeah, as opposed to go for it, dude.
Dude, you got a dream, dude. And you too can make reality television, dude.
So I think Probst is also obviously trying to get a job as a motivational speaker. But meanwhile, Mark Burnett's the guy I should have been up to, not this guy.
Because he produced it, right?
Yeah, he's the guy who invented the whole genre. And it's like,
no,
well,
I'm sorry. I disagree. He did not invent the genre. Categorically.
Okay, I think he invented the modern version of the genre, whatever you're going to say.
No, I would say not that particular. Burnett reinvented that format, but the person who really broke through reality, quote, real life situations on television was John LaMole with Big Brother. That's really where it started.
And I think Survivor predates Big Brother.
Which is another Endemol program.
Well, we'll do some research and we'll get back to you on that. So since we're going to get rid of this.
Wait, let me just mark that down. We'll get back on that. Sure. Another one of those things we'll get back to you on. Sure.
By the way, when Goober and Bart, the guys who used to do a shootout, they took it off the air some years ago.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
They used to bitch about the ratings of the Academy Awards the same way, because the Academy Awards would never, they never give like a blockbuster movie a win anymore. The idea was to give all these artsy fartsy movies that nobody goes to see awards, and people would tune out of this they wanted to see these stars, and they'd just tune off the station.
The people who really, really do a killing on the Emmys is E! Television, who are on the red carpet showing us what the audience really wants to see, these stars saying something, and they want to see what they're wearing. That's all that the audience gives a shit about. We don't care what Joseph Campbell quote we're going to use. They really don't give a crap. They just don't.
I agree. But I thought the show was well produced. The entertainment was good. I thought the production values were stunning.
Yeah, I did not like those voiceovers with those funny little
John Hodgman. You have to be a Comedy Central fan to appreciate it. And he's the guy who does the Mac versus PC.
I don't like it. It's like, it would be like, and ladies and gentlemen. Oh, wait a minute. I should do a little bit of echo. Ladies and gentlemen, Fuck it, I'm not going to do Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage winner of the Best Tech Journalist category, John C. Dvorak. Yay! John Dvorak, best known for saying the Apple Macintosh was not necessary. A mouse is unusable. I mean, that's exactly what, and you'd be like, fuck you, dickheads. Because that's what they were doing. It's like, oh.
Yeah, it was pretty. You're right. Actually, it reminds me of a, I did an awards thing when PC computing was in business called the MVPs, and I did it with Jim Seymour and I, and we were kind of told to goof around like that, and then we almost got fired after the damn thing.
Because oh, really?
All the people who got awards were not very pleased with our you know, kind of lewd commentary.
Funniness, yeah.
So anyway, play the one other clip I got on the Emmys, which is I thought was the best acceptance award because you got it. What's his name?
Ken Howard.
Yeah, Ken Howard, who's I've watched on TV forever. He used to be on a million shows. He used to play a coach on some show, and he's like in his mid to late 60s. He had a kidney transplant apparently 10 years ago, and he comes up with I thought was the absolute best line anyone who's like this late in their career could ever come up with. And then he just had this glib, you know, kind of series of non sequiturs that I just thought it was the best acceptance I've heard for a long time.
And the Emmy goes to Ken Howard, Grey Gardens.
Ken Howard was raised in Manhasset, New York. He says he first worked as an NBC page for The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson in 1965. If my math is right, that...
Although it's funny, I have to say that I'm remembering the speeches based upon that stupid-ass voiceover. Because I remember saying, he was an NBC page. Oh, yeah, I remember this one.
Thanks, Mr. Howard, 35 years old. This is the first Emmy win and nomination for Ken Howard.
Thank you so much. This is... very encouraging.
Yeah, that was funny.
I'll make my speech as brief as possible in the hope that it won't be interrupted by a congressman or a rapper.
This was at the height of the Kanye West controversy. And he's an old dude, right? He's like in his late 60s, 70s?
Yeah.
I was thrilled to be part of this project for HBO. Thank you to everyone at HBO. You know, we actors are so thrilled with the amazing success of cable television and the advent of new media and can barely wait to renegotiate.
Anyway, I found it amusing.
No, that was good. I like that.
So I just want to get those out of the way.
Yeah, I'm happy you did. Three showbiz news at the top of the three showbiz news stories at the top of the show is pretty much all I can take. Let me get back to financial news for a moment.
Oh,
remember? I don't know if it was Sunday or the week before we talked about the FDIC who insure our bank accounts, the money you have deposited in your bank, which used to be $100,000 per. Account and is now $250,000 per account.
Right.
And so they're running out of money. In fact, they say that as it currently stands, they will run out of money in early 2010. And of course, this is being kept very, very quiet because if people knew about this, there would be an obvious run on the banks.
I don't think so.
Oh, if we spun this properly, yeah, there would be. You can make people very afraid of this stuff, but it's not going to happen because that's not in the agenda. And so, one of the ways they were talking about solving this deficit, of course, John, you're correct. People are always happy to lend us money. In fact, the people who we just gave money. The banks are now being considered as the source of money to shore up the FDIC. So, again, this is money the banks already pay to the government that's supposed to go in this little jar, this little piggy bank.
Insurance company.
That should this bank fail, then at least the deposits to a certain amount are covered. So they pay that money, which, of course, is already money they're paying from based upon money that they got in the bailouts. And now they're being asked to take that bailout money and lend it back to the government at interest. So we're getting screwed three times because it's our money, basically. And I was thinking, you know, there's got to be more behind this than just pure desperation. And I think it might have been John Steck who sent this to me. He sends a lot as one of our listener producers. He said, this is the scam. When a bank lends, let's just make it easy, lends the FDIC $1 million it's not just $1 million that's on the books as being lent back to the United States. It's actually an asset. And the way the rules work, with that $1 million asset, they can then lend out $8 million more. So they've actually created $8 million of fake money on their books, because you're allowed to do a 1 to 10 ratio. So this actually is the start of a new legal Ponzi scheme, which is really, really, if you look at everything that's happening, we are headed for, and you're right, John, it's not going to be today or tomorrow, maybe not for a couple of years, but somewhere, somehow, at some point in time, this pyramid, the real Ponzi scheme, which includes Social Security and whatever health care, I don't care what it is, public option, single payer, doesn't matter. If the government's involved, along with Medicare, it's all going to come really tumbling down. It's just impossible that it doesn't.
Possibly.
Oh, Jesus. Where's your book?
Oh,
isn't it time
for... This is the comeback when, you know, when I'm not just... Boy, Adam, that's unbelievable.
Well, instead of that, you know, possibly, maybe you could give a little bit of insight?
I don't have any insight. The way I see it, the whole system, the whole species system, and I've said this before, the whole thing is just based on trust, and it's bogus. It's always been bogus. It's never not going to be bogus. It's bogus with gold.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to hear.
And the funny thing is that it really is all boils down to just a mechanism for barter. The only reason that we have gold standard or species standard, species I'm referring to paper money that doesn't have any real backing. It used to, silver certificates, gold certificates. But now it's just nothing. It's just a piece of paper that happens to be printed, you know, in such a way that makes it hard to counterfeit. It's just a mechanism for barter. So I can give you, for example, I do some work for Mevio, obviously, and you give me this.
I'm all fine with that, except there's one little organization called the Federal Reserve who have been given this God-given right to make up all of the species. They're making up, they're printing the paper, whether it's virtual or not, and that pisses me off, because that's unfair. Let me have a printing press.
Well, they used to allow, you know, it used to be, but here's the problem with that. In the 1700s and 1800s, everybody could have their own printing press. Every bank made their own money. Every state made their own money. I got a bunch of stuff on the walls. You know, I like to collect the old bills, because they're very pretty, by the way. But you get the bank, they are.
They're good rolling paper.
No, they're really pretty. They're pretty. Anyway, the Bank of Georgia, the Bank of South Carolina, and all these different banks, they would actually be hand-signed, you know, so it means
something. Sure. Well, every dollar bill or every denomination is signed by the treasurer and by the Federal Reserve.
We're talking about really signed. I mean, they actually signed
it. Like with real ink. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And which was kind of makes them kind of interesting as collectibles. But anyway, the whole thing, the only reason to do it had to be centralized because it was out of control. Nobody could prove that, you know, somebody wasn't overdoing it and they weren't, you know, there's just too much fraud involved. So you centralize everything with a central bank.
Yeah, so you can have the fraud in one place.
Well, you can have the fraud in one place, and of course, the government doesn't care. They want to. All they want to do is make sure that somebody keeps track of where this money's moving to and from, so they can tax. You know, the fact that instead of me actually going over there and trading you, a motor from my car for, you know, a few bushels of.
Well, yeah, but wait a minute. That's not the job of the Federal Reserve. Is to keep inflation and deflation in check. Isn't that their ultimate goal?
That's only a recent job that I know of.
Because
that job never existed.
Because I'll just say one thing, that within your lifetime, certainly, John, interest rates. Yeah, I know. I know it's a lot. It's a lot to think of. But within your lifetime, interest rates have been as high as 20%. As low
Carter.
As like 0%, like it is today. You know, so they failed at that. They've essentially failed at their job. And then they're keeping secret who they're printing up money and giving it to. But we're actually paying for it. On Wednesday, yesterday, the U.S. Federal Reserve said it will appeal a court ruling that ordered it to identify borrowers using its emergency lending programs. This is the $2 trillion that Bloomberg sued the Federal Reserve over under the Freedom of Information Act.
Right, they went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said cough up the documents, and the Federal Reserve said,
no, said, screw you. Yeah, they went, hey, Sotomayor, you like that chair, biatch? We put you there. You don't want to mess with us. No way.
I know, they got an issue. There's a real problem for them to do this. The financial community is very upset about this because it just makes it, again, like, well, maybe nobody has to. Oh, so the Supreme Court told me to? Forget it. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. How about we try that?
Yeah, right.
How about we try to say, no, yeah, hello, hello, we're not doing it. We're not listening to you. Yeah, I mean, that's it's an out-and-out outrage. And, you know, now you've... Ah, God, I mean, this is...
Look, if Bloomberg's working on it...
You know that it's a scam.
Well, it could be either a scam A, or it's nothing we, the two of us, can do anything about except bitch.
Oh, yeah, well, but if I'm happy they're doing it because we'd have no show.
No, there's plenty of other stuff.
Well, there is plenty of other stuff. And I really love this one, which, of course, will be underreported and no one will really understand it. But you know about the VIP program? This was the Countrywide Financial Corporation, who, of course, received huge bailouts. They had this VIP mortgage plan, which is not all that uncommon, by the way. There's lots of banks who give celebrities, and of course you'd think there might be some conflict of interest if you're giving congressmen and senators low rate mortgages for their homes or for their second homes or for their seventh home, and you know they're giving them bailout money at the same time. And this included who did they give money to, John?
I don't know. I gave up on that story.
Well, anyway, so, you know.
Biden, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think Biden was one. And let me just look at the story. Well, anyway, you know, when you call the bank, you always hear your call may be recorded for training and customer support purposes. And so, you know, there was the House Oversight Committee said, hey, you know, I'd really like to find out about these. About these VIP loans, just to make sure that, you know, these, because of course, these representatives said, oh, I didn't know they had a VIP program. I thought I was just getting my regular good deal. You know, I had no idea it was a better deal. Here, Chris Dodd, who is actually on the finance committee, Kent Conrad of North Dakota, and they, of course, say they never asked for favorable loans. So they subpoenaed these recordings. Oh, well, you know what? I'm sorry. We deleted them because of space issues. You can get away with a lot of excuses.
Space issues. Buy a terabyte drive over here at Costco for $75. That'll hold a lot of recordings.
And then you know that it's like, you know, at eight bit resolution. You know, it's like, you know, it's really low grade recording. No, I'm sorry. It was. Let me see if I have the exact quote. It was really funny the way it was worded, but literally, you know, well, we had to delete them, you know, because, you know, we were running out of space on the hard drive. That's our policy.
Do they let people actually say these things? You know, that would be, to me, it would be send that person to jail for lying to whoever, you know, federal officers. That's a lie. It's an out-and-out lie. There's no such thing as space.
Here we go. A Bank of America spokesman said in a written statement that...
Bank of America, my favorite bank.
Yes, who I think they received a little bit of help, don't you think?
Yeah.
Wasn't there some help going on there? The VIP recordings, quote, were retained only for a limited time or until available recording space was utilized. Oh
yeah,
my
we put
God.
Everything on an eight megabyte SD disk. It
like
ran out.
Like a USB thumb drive. I mean, what are these guys using over there at the Bank of America? They can do a million transactions a second on the NASDAQ, yet they can't save a VIP recording for more than a couple months.
Then you know something was up.
Well, of course,
that's an admission of guilt.
Well, yeah, but not, you know, nothing will happen.
Well, of course not. Why would there be anything happening?
Nah.
Nothing happens, period.
Well, I've been watching time for a little bit of media assassination. So while all of this stuff actually goes on in the background, you know, Fox News is keeping the old people busy. And by the way, it really is. I don't know what the demographics are of Fox News, but I bet you any person over 60, present company excluded.
Huh?
Watches Fox News exclusively in the evenings. And I've spoken to a number of people, and yeah, Coop at the office. I was, you know, she was like, you know, I've been kind of indoctrinating her, and she's like, wow, you sound like my mom a little bit. So, well, first of all, A, I hope not. B,
hello.
Said, let me guess, she's probably watching Bill O'Reilly, Glenn Beck. She's like, yeah, exactly. That's what I hear her talk about all the time. Like, okay, now I've got it figured out. So we get the old people occupied with Fox. We get the younger people occupied with CNN. And just give him candy, man. You know, Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox, his mantra and what he's been very successful at is give the people what they want. And they're just completely hypnotized. And you know, they're too old to get motivated to do anything. You know, they're not going to go march on Washington. Like,
I bet got a few of them to go under that thing. The 9/12 event.
True. But that is certainly not the viewership of Fox. I mean, the viewership of Fox is huge. You know, he got a lot of people, you know, 100,000 or maybe in total 1 million around the country. But, you know, on a nightly basis, what has he got? 3-4 million people watching him?
Yeah, at least.
So, you know, and then CNN, they just keep the younger crowd busy. And it's all with this non sequitur bullshit. You know, so Fox's new thing is, the president, he has time to go to Copenhagen,
right?
You know, to try and shill for the Olympics to get him into Chicago, which of course is a complete bullshit thing for him to be doing.
Totally.
You know, and I mean, it is. It's just,
hey, Obama, we need some help here in Chicago. We got you into this job. Get over there, okay?
Yeah, and well, it's not even that. I mean, the guy is not running anything. When will someone understand that he's not running the show? And so, of course, you know, what they're saying is he doesn't have time to respond to the letter from the commander in Afghanistan who needs more troops, which is true. He has not responded. But, you know, who thinks the guy is running anything? I think people are switching on to this. The guy is not in charge of anything. He's just not.
I know, he's on TV, radio. He's on. He's doing talk shows on the weekends.
He's a brand. He's just a brand.
I've never seen a president who's constantly never. He's never home.
And Michelle flew out the day before him on her own Air Force 2 or 2.5.
Yeah, I know the whole right-wing media is all up in arms about these two flights, and they're complaining about the carbon. I think it's a good complaint, but it is beside the point.
Yeah, and then on the left, I'll just call it right-left, just to stay with whatever vernacular they're using. We've got CNN. What are they talking about? Roman Polanski. It's like, I don't give a crap. I just don't care.
Yeah, you're right. That's the split. That's the current. You see, it's Polanski and the flight. And what was a couple of weeks ago, we had the other two, which was the Acorn and what was the entertainment news? Kanye West.
I think I figured out Polanski's arrest, though. You know, everyone's like, now it's in this deep discussion of, you know, the judge was, you know, the judge overstepped his boundaries, and it's like a whole discussion that is completely irrelevant to life as we know it.
Yeah, well, let me mention one more thing before you give us the explanation. He's had a chalet in Gstaad for years.
But this was the first time they knew he was coming because he was receiving an award.
What did they have to know anything for? Why don't they just go over there, knock on his door, find when he's going to be back?
Now, I'll tell you why they nailed the guy. And this is the one thing you will not see on CNN, the one thing you will not hear about on Fox, is about his new movie. His new movie, which has not yet been sold in the United States, is titled The Ghost. Stars Pierce Brosnan.
All right. You got me on that one. You're right. It's exactly. It's a publicity stunt.
The novel caused a stir in Britain. So this is a movie of a book for the lead character's resemblance to former Prime Minister Tony Blair. So I'm going to have to go read this book now to review it on the show. But clearly they don't want this movie out or whatever. And so it's like, let's just go nail this guy.
No, I think it might be the opposite. Maybe the whole thing is
set up to
get
him. Or it's a whole publicity stunt to make it work. Yeah,
to get the distribution out, because now everyone's going to be interested in the movie once the word gets out. Oh, Polanski's movie. And especially if they use the logic that, oh, they arrested him to keep the movie off the street. My God, this must be unbelievable, this movie.
Great movie! Yeah, you're right. It could be. Because, of course, we know that in the highest levels of justice departments around the world, most of these people are pedophiles. I'll say it. They're fucking pedophiles. I know for fact in Gitmo Nation East. Come on and get me, bitches. I'm not afraid to say it.
Yes,
it's rampant. It's rampant. It's rampant throughout upper layers of government. And by the way, why not go get a couple of priests while you're at it? Why not arrest them and throw them in jail? Why not extradite a couple of those Roman dudes?
So we should be taking, put a pool together. Do we think that Polanski will actually be extradited, or would the whole thing fall apart after the movie gets into distribution?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Well, let's we will monitor this. Could you write that down somewhere, John? Well, you can find it.
Let me see. Yes, here's a stack of papers. I'll write it on the back of this envelope.
Something that's you may have blogged this. It wouldn't surprise me because it's been circling around the conspiracy theory circlists for a while now. This town in Montana, Hardin, Montana.
Oh, yeah, this is hilarious. We did blog it.
This is great. Has never had a police force, but now all of a sudden they do, and it's called the APF, known as the American Police Force. And these guys have a website. Hold on, I got to find it's like some rental outfit. And yes, here it is. It's pretty – and, of course, the website has been completely hacked. Oh, wait a minute. They've unhacked it. It's American Police Group. .com. The American Police Force organization, American Police Force, is dedicated to maintaining our well-deserved professional reputation as a results-oriented, full-service, private, investigative, and security agency by way of commitment, diligence, unique resources, creativity, and tenacity on behalf of our clients. And so, but it looks like their logo, if you go to the website, what's the name of that movie, that animated movie, Team America?
I never saw it.
Oh, John, you have to see this movie. You've never seen Team America?
No.
Oh, my God. You know the song, America, fuck yeah, here to take on the motherfucking world, yeah. You've never seen this?
No.
Oh, my God, John, this is a classic. You of all people need to see this movie, Team America. You must rent it or BitTorrent it tonight. You have to see this. You will be blown away. Maybe I have that song here. Let me just see. Oh, it is so funny. And it's kind of like the Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
And it's kind of done that way. Hold on.
God, why should I want to see it?
Oh, dude. You want to see this so bad. Hold on. Let me just see if I have that song. I bet you I have it somewhere. Maybe not. Maybe it's in my other iTunes. Nah. No, I don't. Sorry. Anyway, you should Google Team America.
All right, I will. I'll follow up. Where's that envelope? Hold on a second.
Yeah. So anyway, these guys, main office located in D.C., and they service all 50 states and most countries. This is a private police force that has been hired, apparently.
We don't even know they exist, except for a couple of guys with some business cards they printed on their laser printer.
Well, they got a cool-ass logo.
Yeah, well, you know, they probably have some graphics. One of the guy's wives is a graphics designer, maybe. Who knows? I mean, I think these guys are like Blackwater wannabes.
Well, yeah, duh. Recent stories of a private security force descending upon Montana town in black Mercedes SUVs. At least the American cops drive American cars. With police department insignias emblazoned on the side have caused an internet uproar. The reason, Hardin, Montana, where the American police force entered driving the phony patrol cars, doesn't have a police department. So anyway, links about all this in the show notes at noagendashow.com.
Yeah, it's a funny story. People should read it, but I don't know where it's going.
Will you promise me that you watch Team America? You will poop yourself.
I will. I will see that. I will definitely watch Team America.
Let's do some clips.
All right. Well, we got a couple interesting clips here. There's one I watched one too many Rachel Maddows, and I'll tell you this.
Oh, my God.
She is a liar.
Amongst other L words. Which actually is to her benefit. I mean, the whole lesbian thing is a turn on. That's why I watch her. I'm like, oh yeah.
Well, she's getting really snotty too. She's picking up that old habit of sneering too much.
Oh yeah, I don't like that.
She had Alan Grayson, who's a guy you should probably follow. He's a Florida Democrat who's in with Ron Paul.
Yeah, I've seen him interview. He interviewed the Federal Reserve's attorney. Hilarious. during one of these things. Yeah, I like him.
He's a blowhard. He's one of these showboaters. I mean, he's not going to get very...
He's
kind of funny, but this is what bothers me. He's amongst this group. Play the Alan Grayson clip, and I'm going to, before he said, this is, he apparently used the word Holocaust, and they're all upset about it. It's going to be an economic Holocaust or something like that.
Oh, he used the word Holocaust.
And the word Holocaust is, I guess, a no-no in the politically correct. So they're kind of apologizing about it. And
it's interesting you say that, because I actually was researching the, is it entomology?
No, that's about bugs.
Yeah, well,
etymology.
No wonder I was confused.
etymology.
I was researching the etymology of the word Holocaust the other day, which has meant a lot of different things throughout history until recent times. So let's listen to the clip of Alan Grayson.
We're here for.
I have to ask you a third time, and I'm sorry because I didn't mean to do this, but do you regret using the word Holocaust, or do you think it was appropriate?
It may not have been the best choice of words, okay. But I will say this. My words don't matter. That's not what's important here. What's important is that we do what we need to do, that we solve these problems. And that's what
Second. Now, here's where this is what starts to get to me. Listen to the rest of this spiel about how somehow, in some bizarro world, that a House that is dominated
by Democrats,
and a Senate that is filibuster proof, and a president who is Democrat, play this, and how can you blame the Republicans for everything? It's not possible, but that's what they're doing.
That's what's so frustrating to me. I've been here for only 9 months now, and I see the Republicans have nothing. They simply stick their heels in, they dig their heels in, they won't let anything get done time and time again. It's not just the health bill, it's everything. They simply block everything.
They can't block everything. They have no power.
Yeah. No, I've noticed this trend as well. It's like they always say they want to negotiate. They don't. It's all take and no give. Well, why don't you guys get your shit together and you can pass anything you want?
They can pass anything they want. They got all Democrats. They own the House. They own the Senate. They own the presidency. And they're complaining that the Republicans are stopping things. The Republicans can't stop anything. There is not enough Republicans to do much. But look. Look and watch. They can watch things change. These Democrats complaining about Republicans at this point, after the United States public gave the Democrats the House, the Senate, and the presidency, are still complaining about Republicans.
John C. Dvorak's pet peeve of the day.
Exactly.
You know, when you talk like that, I actually get hard.
It's not what America sent Congress to do.
What do you think?
That's funny.
The best way is for Democrats in Congress to fight Republicans. You've obviously taken a very
Well, all you have to do is show up and agree. You have to fight. Just show up and press vote for whatever you want, and then we're good.
Tenacious rhetorical stand against them, and you've been very outspoken and very blunt. It's the way you campaigned. It's the way that you have governed as a member of Congress in your first term. Do you think that the Democratic Party should be approaching Republicans differently, just as a matter of strategy?
People want a Democrat with guts. They want to see a Democratic Party with guts. They want to see us use the power that they gave to us last November in the election. They want to see us solve their problems, and not just Democrats. It's not just Democrats who feel that way. People want to see Congress act, not drag their feet, not be stopped by the Republicans, not be stonkered by these nattering nabobs of negativism. They want to see us solve their problems, or at least work on them.
Wait a minute, let's
stop there. Nattering nabobs of negativism was a phrase that was coined by the corrupt Vice President Spiro Agnew. I don't know if he's using it as a joke reference or he's actually using it.
Obviously, it was lost on me. I want to hear it again because I didn't. Negative nabobs of what?
Of negativism.
I like this.
Not be stopped by the Republicans. Not be stonkered by these nattering nabobs of negativism. They want to see us solve their problems, or at least work on them.
Nattering nabobs of negativism. I'm going to use that in a meeting at Mevio.
You guys are a bunch of
nattering nabobs of negativism.
Negativism.
Oh, God, I'm going to fuck it up when I say it. Yeah, nattering nabobs of negativism.
You're having trouble.
Say it. It's like she sells seashells by the seashore.
Nattering
nabobs of negativitism.
No!
What is it? What's the last word?
Negativism.
Negative. Can I just say negativity?
Yeah, you could probably get away with that.
Yeah, nattering nabobs of negativity. That's better.
Yeah, you can say that.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to try that and see if anyone picks up on it. So this Holocaust thing is interesting. because I was watching Larry King earlier in the week, I think even before Sunday's show, and he had negativism. He had Ahmadinejad on. Man, I'm out of it today. And Larry launches in this whole thing. He wants Ahmadinejad to basically say that he denies there was a Holocaust. And with Holocaust, which is a proper word meaning something else than 6 million Jews being killed during the Second World War. And Ahmadinejad won't admit it. He keeps saying, let me, you know, as a scholar, which is always funny, he pulls out the I'm a scholar. So we, you know, I'm not a historian. I'm a scholar. He says 15 million people were killed. He's, and, you know, so his whole thing is, who killed all the Jews? Who killed all these people? And then, of course, Larry King has to say Germans. And then and Ahmadinejad brings it right around to say, right, so why are the Palestinians now involved in this conversation? Why has the Holocaust been politicized? So that's all a valid point, but he actually won't admit it. He won't say it. And so I'm, and he said something about the word Holocaust, and I thought it was very interesting that this word has been used in many different contexts, but it really has been hijacked to mean one thing only. And now it's like a word that you can't use anymore unless, you know, unless it's in the context of 6 million Jews being exterminated. It's just, it's not valid. And from that, and I'll take it right back to my own personal circles, I was in the meeting with a couple of the Mevio senior execs, and one of them actually, we were talking about this, one of them actually said, well, I really hope we just wipe out Iran. And this particular person is Jewish. And I'm like, wow, you know, do you really mean that? Oh yeah. We should, you know, if we just get rid of them, then everything will be fine. I said, but that's exactly what Israel is claiming Iran says about Israel. I mean, don't you see kind of like the sadness in what you're talking about? I said, you got kids. I said, your kids are on Facebook with Iranians. Your kids are on Facebook with kids from Iraq. And, oh yeah, absolutely. And my kid was, you know, on Facebook and then Twittering and while the bombs were going off in Iran and her friend was watching out the window, I said, there were no bombs going off. You know, it wasn't all that bad. And I realized that even really smart people, really smart people who I hold in high regard and who make more money than I do at this company, I have been so indoctrinated by fake bullshit news that there's just no hope for them. There is just no hope. And every day I get emails from people who listen to this show who say, you know, my fill in the blank, my boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, you know, etc., my friends, they all think I'm a crazy-ass crackpot when I say, hey, maybe you should think about what's actually going on and not be worrying about Kanye West, and maybe you shouldn't take the flu shot because there might be something going on. And they all say categorically, I cannot convince them. They call me crazy. And, you know, please help me. How do I bring people over to the other side? And I have to tell you, forget about it. It's not worth the effort. Some of us will make it and some of us won't. I'm really sorry. In fact, one guy, my advice to him was, maybe it's time for a new girlfriend. He didn't like that. He didn't think that was a satisfactory answer, by the way.
Yeah, but it's probably a good answer.
Yeah, you know, it's like, and this is, you know, so I'm sorry. The only thing you can do is bring it with humor. If you're really serious and shit, that just doesn't work. You just got to laugh and joke and then maybe people will get it. But what has hit home is the same person, actually, who has a daughter and who has had the first HPV Gardasil cervical cancer shot. And I said, hey, you know, you might want to consider that that's maybe not such a good idea. And boom, the same day, and if you haven't seen this, then, well, my God, then...
Yeah, I know everybody's...
Everybody's seen now that there was a girl in the United Kingdom who died very shortly after she received her HPV...
they're doing everything they can to cover it up.
Oh, yeah. Now the BBC, of course, state-run, state-controlled media, is saying that she had a tumor. Yeah, no, she had a tumor. It wasn't the shot that killed her. It was the tumor. Interesting. So, yeah, they are doing everything they can to cover it up. And this, in fact, I think vaccinations have been put on hold in the UK for Gardasil.
Yeah. So far, it'll let it blow over because the public has a short memory, and bingo, will be back in play because there's too much money to be lost. Yeah. You can't let these shots go out of date.
It's like, I think it's like $300 a shot, and there's three shots involved. And it's interesting, many countries, certainly in Gitmo Nation East, are giving the third shot and the third vaccine vial and saying, take this home and you should self-administer it, which I don't get at all, which other than a great way to circumvent some lawsuits.
It's I like, didn't know what? This.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Yeah. I'll put the link in the show notes, noagendashow.com.
Here's your third one here. Take it home about a month from now. Shove it up your ass.
But even this woman's daughter, who was, I think, 15, maybe 13, she said, you know, it was really interesting because my husband took her, but her daughter was the one that came home and said, you know, I feel okay after this first shot, but, man, I had to sign a lot of paperwork. It was like this huge, like, pages and pages of basically whatever happens, you cannot sue us, the doctor, the company, you know, the bus company that drove you here. You know, you cannot sue anybody. I'm like, doesn't that give you some kind of clue? Now, of course, for the swine flu, that has been embedded into law that, you know, because these companies have stepped up and have rushed through creating this fantastic swine flu vaccine for the H1N1 new influenza A virus, that, of course, they have to be held indelible from any type of legal action should you die from their horrible shit.
It's the No Agenda Swine Flu Minute.
Which actually lasts about 30 minutes. Where would you like to start?
Now, apparently, well, a couple of things to start. I don't have a clip for this, but every week we have come up with another new scam that the news media dreams up, or something happens, or they pick up on a story, and the next thing you know, as another excuse to get people to take the swine flu. Up in Canada, the doctors up there, or a doctor, or some research company, has come up with this crazy notion that if you get the regular flu shot before the swine flu shot.
Yeah.
You will probably get the swine flu for sure.
Yeah.
Now I would like some virologist.
How does that work?
How does that work? How does giving me a vaccine make it easier for me to get another?
Let me take a guess, John, because perhaps they've actually put the H1N1 in the seasonal flu shot. I mean, I'm just guessing here, you know.
Well, that's always possible.
Yeah.
So what they want, that's possible.
Yeah, of course it's possible. Why else? How else could you do it?
Shot either. A lot of healthcare workers aren't getting either shot this year.
Oh, except, well, yeah, but there's a big problem.
Yeah, they're starting to pass laws saying you have to.
You have to. In Ohio, if the health workers don't take the shot, they don't get a pay raise. In New York, they'll get fired.
Right. That's showing up in California, too, just now.
If you don't take the shot, you get fired. Hey, now that's a way to help out with jobs. Way to go, Obama!
Jobs. Let's vote for jobs!
Yeah! Well, not only that, but these are nurses that are going to be needed if there is an epidemic.
Yeah.
So what's the logic here? There was some woman in the New York Times, a nurse, saying, you know, I've never been sick in 5 years. Why should I be getting these shots? She won't take either shot. She never has. She won't do it.
And she'll get put on inactive duty, or she'll get fired, or it's nuts.
The whole thing is crazy. So anyway, so they're interviewing these people up in the Canadian stations, and they're saying, the guy says, so how come, you know, some reporter, some brash reporter asks, how come nobody else has come up with this information that that you can't take the one shot before the other? And by the way, how would you figure that out? Because the shots haven't been distributed yet. And the guy says, well, you know, sometimes you don't, you can't, if you're not looking, you won't see it.
Is that his exact quote? Say that one more time.
Pretty much.
Hey, over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
If you don't look, you won't see it. Okay.
So the whole thing is just this, you know, ridiculous. So now they want you, and now what's happening in Canada, which is ludicrous because the flu season actually begins in, you know, November. They're going to make people they're going to have the swine flu shots available probably in December or maybe in November. And then the regular flu shots won't be available till January, till we're well into the flu season. But meanwhile, people could get the regular seasonal flu. And of course, they'll say it's the swine flu. This is a fiasco.
There's in Gitmo Nation East in the Netherlands, a number of people sent me this link. They have kind of like a virologist czar who has been pushed forward by the government to tell everyone, you know, oh, this is why, and of course they call it the Mexican flu over there. I'm not quite sure. I'm still not quite sure why they didn't go with swine flu. It's a branding issue. We're working on it. You know, it's typical. And so he's been on television. You know, he's a spokesman, right? And so they discover that he owns like 9% in the leading distributor of vaccines in the Netherlands. It's like, duh, really? You think? It's just it's a huge money making scam at best. At worst, goodbye, audience. At least those of you who are going to take the shot. But it really is sad just to hear how people they're not even this information about what we're talking about, particularly about the adjuvants, the hamburger helper part, which is really the dangerous part of the. Oh, you know what? I found this, and I have to find the whole clip. I only have a piece of it because in 1976, this is a fractal, of course, of what happened a number of years ago. We had a swine flu scare in the United States. 48 million Americans were vaccinated. And thousands of people got sick, had neurological disorders, and many people started to die, and there were these huge lawsuits. And then this is a news report from, I guess, late 70s about the swine flu. I just have a little bit of it. I'm looking for the full-blown piece because it actually has examples, and you see these people walking all fucked up and shit because they got neurological disease. This is a great piece of audio history, and without the lovely internet and YouTube, we wouldn't have this.
Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nation wide outbreak, a pandemic. Well, 46 million of us obediently took the shot. And now 4,000 Americans are claiming damages from Uncle Sam amounting to $3.5 billion because of what happened when they took that shot. By far the greatest number of the claims, two-thirds of them, are for neurological damage or even death.
Dr. David Sensor, then head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, is not...
By the way, love the music. Love the music.
Now in private industry, he devised the swine flu program and he pushed it.
Did anyone ever come to you and say, you know something, fellas? There's the possibility of neurological damage if you get into a mass immunization program.
No.
No one ever did.
No.
Do you know Michael Hapwick?
Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Michael Hapwick directed the surveillance team for the swine flu program at the CDC. His job was to find out what possible complications could arise from taking the shot and to report his findings to those in charge.
Did you know ahead of time, Dr. Hapwick, that there had been case reports of neurological disorders, neurological illness, apparently associated with the injection of influenza vaccine?
Absolutely.
You did?
Yes.
How'd you know that?
By review of the literature.
What would you say if I told you that your superiors say that you never told them about the possibility of neurological complications?
That's nonsense. I can't believe that they would say that they did not know that there were neurological illnesses associated with influenza vaccination. That simply is not true. We did know that.
Right, so that's all CDC personnel, and it's a fractal. It is exactly the hold on, I should do that. It is exactly the same. Isn't the slogan "If we don't learn from history, we're bound to repeat it"?
No, I thought it was "If we don't learn from history, we're bound to have it repeated to us."
Nay-bobbing negative. What was it?
Oh, you're never going to get it out.
No, I'm going to have to write it down on a cheat sheet.
Nattering.
Nattering, nay-bobbing
negativity. Nattering nay-bobs of negativity.
Nattering nay-bobs of negativity.
Although that's what you're going to say. It's actually negativism is the real
thing. Nattering nay-bobbers.
never mind.
Teeny boppers. So anyway, it's really interesting when you see this piece, and it goes on forever because back in the day they had a lot less commercials. But it's just an outstanding piece. I'll put this edited piece, which
we ran this before.
I don't think we've run this particular piece. I don't recall it, at least.
Okay.
But we have talked about the 1976 swine flu, and it is exactly the same. And by the way, how come if they already went through this, don't they already have? You never hear anyone talking about, here's what we learned from the 1976 swine flu. You never hear about that. ever. But they've improved it. Yeah, they have. Not the adjuvanted vaccine. What they've improved is
the marketing.
Yeah, they've got the CDC in their pocket. They've got the WHO, the World Health Organization. They got them to change the laws on what actually constitutes a pandemic. They've got everyone to say, hey, babe. Oh, nice. Turn down your Mickey. They got the World Health Organization to change what a pandemic actually is. It doesn't have to be widespread.
Treaties where they could actually declare martial law.
Yeah, I mean,
and then all these local areas of the various areas of the world have like in England now. There's one of the interesting stories that floated by from one of our producers is that you can be considered insane and locked up if you refuse the flu shot
by only one doctor. By the way,
by one doctor, the one doctor who's making whatever they're paying him per shot, and you say, I don't want the shot. Well, I'm going to lose $10. You can probably give the doctor – find out what the amount of money is that the doctor's getting for the shot.
No,
and
it was
– give him the money.
Yeah, exactly. Give him double.
Give him double
the money.
Please.
You know what we do here on this show? We don't pull any punches. No, sir.
Our formula is this. We go out. We hit people in the mouth.
Simple formula.
Now hit my other thing, hitting another guy in the mouth clip. You can use this follow-up.
Okay.
It's always about hitting the other guy in the mouth, isn't it?
That's always going to ever be about.
Doesn't quite have the same impact.
No, the other one's better.
Yeah.
It's always about hitting the other guy in the mouth, isn't it?
That's always going to ever be about.
Hell yeah. Let's hit that other guy in the mouth.
Okay, let's go on to another clip.
Wait, do we have no more swine flu news?
Well, okay. No, I do have people out there all sent us a Shepard Smith clip. Shepard Smith, who I watched this clip where he berated some healthcare worker for not taking the swine flu shot and then saying, well, you know more than the CDC. You know more than the CDC. How can you know more than the CDC? And he's a total dick. And I have that clip. I'm going to run it on Sunday.
Yay, total dick. I love it. Let me just stick with healthcare for one second.
Sure.
Before you go on to the next
clip.
Well,
I got a healthcare clip. Well, since you're on the topic.
Well, let me finish up the swine flu minute.
No agenda, swine flu minute.
That thing sticks in your head. You will be singing that all day. You can't help. It's catchy. It's catchy. Jeff Smith, genius at work. You want to do? I got a tax thing. Healthcare related tax thing.
I got two healthcare clips. This first one is thank you for calling Mr. Benton. And here's what the setup is. So I'm watching CSI New York, and the story is the following: a guy ended up with lung cancer. And I guess he lost his coverage. So this is like total, you know.
Wait a minute. This is NCSI New York. Was CSI New York?
CSI New York.
So wait a minute. We've received another script from the White House, boys. Oh, yay. No writing necessary.
And there's an interesting aspect to it.
Okay.
This guy starts using high tech to kill off the doctors that cut him off. And first, let's play this clip, and then I'll show you the ludicrous aspect of it. Play thank you for calling Mr. Benton. The guy has been killing people, and he's got some woman locked in an elevator, and she's claustrophobic, and she's dying in there, and she's not getting any sympathy from him. And
so he's cut off the elevator through the internet.
And
apparently.
He's calling her, yes.
It's okay. So can I interrupt this clip, or do I have to play it all the way through?
You can interrupt it, but you have to back it up a little bit.
Okay, because I might hear like some outrageous shit. Let's go.
No, you knew what I was going through.
Okay, right there. He's talking in the elevator. I'm sorry.
Yes, he's in the elevator, in the speaker in the elevator through the internet. He's got the emphysema or some horrible.
Have you ever pressed the button in the elevator and gotten a response ever? No.
You could have found a way to help me. But you didn't.
Oh, we weren't allowed to.
Allowed to.
What's is that her wheezing?
Yeah, she's has some weird claustrophobia, and she will die if she's locked in the elevator.
Okay. Oh, this is a condition I'm unaware of. Okay.
We weren't allowed to.
Right. The corporation isn't in the charity business. They made that quite clear to me every time I spoke to someone. They said the same thing. I'm sorry, Mr. Benton. wish I could help you, Mr. Bent. I wish we didn't have to take your bed, Mr. Benton.
Take your bed.
Insurance hadn't run out.
The read is really bad, dude.
He's trying to breathe. He says, we're sorry we had to take your bed, Mr. Benton, if your insurance hadn't run out.
We could do something for you.
This is better than what Obama does. I want public health care now.
Mr. Benton, we wish you the best. Mr. Benton. Thank you for calling.
I love it.
Now, the follow-up is the girl is rescued because he's already killed two other people. Now, he's killed one person through by attacking into the GPS system and a whole bunch of things. So this guy's car drove into the wrong part of town and then died because he managed to do all kinds of – this is a guy who, when they researched him, supposedly invented GPS and –
Oh, right.
Okay. He's a huge super hacker. Meanwhile, he loses his insurance and he can't hack into the system. This is the irony. This is the world's greatest hacker, and he can't hack into the insurance system.
Just like up his insurance real easily.
I mean, this is stupid.
Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, play the last clip is that one lone clip. This is after they found out where he was.
Was it right near Congressman? Is that the one?
Yeah. And so he has the unsympathetic cop. And meanwhile, there's still the final pieces of propaganda now fall into place.
It would be if you hadn't spoiled my plans.
What would putting Lisa Kim in the morgue accomplish?
She needed to feel what it's like to be helpless and forgotten.
Wow, that's a message right there to everybody, huh?
She suffers from severe claustrophobia. She could have died in that elevator.
That's what happens when one doesn't get the help they need.
That's like right out of the playbook, that one.
You remember when your father needed help, don't you? And he got it. Well, I wasn't given that option.
You won't get sympathy from me. You have a problem with the healthcare system. You found three scapegoats.
Don't you see? Detective, that's the lesson here. I needed to put Lisa Kim, Aaron Dexter, and Dr. Evans in my shoes to make them understand.
You have a message. Write your congressman.
Wait a minute. This was CSI. This is CSI Vegas, isn't it?
No, this is CSI New York.
So when does CSI New York? When is it in production?
I think it goes in production over the summer.
Interesting. So you're telling me that they well, let's see. They had dusted. I'm trying to see if I can find out when this was actually made, because this may have been part of the overall agenda way before it hit the airwaves.
Could be. You may have thought they had a fight on their hands and had to come up with some of these propagandistic shows. But I think people out there at least should notice that this kind of thing is being thrust upon them as dramas when in fact they're messages.
Okay, here it is. April 30th, 2008. CSI currently filming its... Is this the eighth season, John, of CSI?
I don't know.
Well, it would be interesting to know. Because they were in production on their eighth season more than a year ago.
I don't think the lead time on CSI is more than 6 months.
We're rolling right into the next season. We will start our ninth season May 12th.
I think
you're right. It may be pretty tight. Did we see the upcoming CSI 2.5 Men crossover episode?
I didn't watch it.
That's frightening. How can you cross over CSI and 2.5 Men?
That's pretty crazy.
That's wrong. I haven't heard about that, so who knows? So clearly, and of course, who produces this show?
Well, Viacom.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't this
CBS?
Who's the actual executive producer?
No, this is not a Dick Wolf show.
Who produces it?
This is, what's his name, the other superstar?
Sorkin?
No, 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 no. If I said his name, you'd know it. Look it up.
I'm looking it up, right? Jerry Bruckheimer.
Yeah, Bruckheimer. Yeah,
there you go. Well, yeah, of course. Bruckheimer. Yeah, he's always in with the White House, isn't he?
I don't see any reason that he's not.
Yeah. So the following on this health care, you know, the one thing the president has promised us is there would be no tax for this health care. Unfortunately, the IRS kind of disagrees with him because, you know, now the plan, the so-called Baucus bill, Chairman Max Baucus of the Senate Finance Committee, initially came out and said, hey, look, you know, if you don't want to take the health care, that's fine. You're going to pay $3,800 penalty. And I don't know if that's per person or per family. It's probably per person, but that's kind of irrelevant. It was lowered to $1,900. But now the IRS says, yeah, you know what? And if you fail to pay, we will be in charge of punishing you.
Yeah, so it's a tax.
It's a tax. The IRS handles tax, so it is 100% a tax. If you fail to pay, it'll be a $25,000 fine or up to a year in jail or both. Excuse me. It makes me nauseous to read this shit. So it's a tax. That is the... If the IRS... It levies it, if the IRS is in charge, it's a tax. That's the only way you can look at it.
No, it is a tax.
Yeah, but then didn't the president lie? Wasn't Joe, whatever his name is, right when he said, you lie? You lie.
Joe Wilson.
Joe Wilson. Wasn't he right? You lie.
Yeah.
He lies. On the lying tip, and I promised you last show I'd just briefly touch on this. Remember I said I would come back on the Oklahoma City bombing?
Yeah.
By coincidence, oh, wait a minute. I think I actually have a jingle for that. Yeah, by coincidence, 3 days ago, the long secret security tapes showing the chaos immediately after the 1995 bombing of the Oklahoma City Federal Building were released under Freedom of Information Act, blah de blah de blah. And this is according to AP. The tapes appear to be edited.
Coincidence? I think not.
Yeah. The tapes are blank in the minutes before the blast and appear to have been edited. The real story is what's missing, said Jesse Trentadue, Salt Lake City attorney who obtained the recordings through the Freedom of Information Act. As part of an official, unofficial inquiry he's been conducting since 1995, he gave copies to the Oklahoma newspaper. So the tapes turned over by the FBI came from security cameras. Here it is. Various companies had mounted outside office buildings near the Murrah Federal Building. There are blank points before 9:02 a.m. when a truck bomb carrying the 4,000-pound fertilizer and fuel oil bomb detonated in front of the building. All four cameras, all four, go blank at the same time. And, of course, officials said, well, they had run out of tape. Hey, where have I heard that before? Of course, in 95, it maybe was actual videotape. These days, it's digital recording, but it's always, ah, doesn't that suck? We ran out of recording space. So, obviously, there's been tampering here. And if you really look, if you Google this stuff and you look at it, you'll see that the way the blast was, the way the blast field was put together, there's no way it could have caused this damage. In fact, some columns were ripped down where there essentially could have only been 25 pounds per square inch of pressure. And I say, if you look, just for those of you who are on the directed energy weapons tip with me, look at the building from above and look at the nice beamed circles that have sheared off the front of that building. That's all I'll say about it.
Good.
But it's just interesting that that the tapes appear to be edited at the very moment I tell you that we should come back and talk about it.
Maybe very interesting.
Maybe there is no coincidence.
Yeah, well, there's no such thing as no coincidence. All right, I got one more medical thing to play. It's a thing, and then we have to kind of thank some of the listeners who have given us some cash.
Okay.
But I do have, I don't know what the record is, but this is a one-minute commercial for Embril. And this one, even my wife got the chills listening to this commercial, because apparently this stuff, if you take it, you get fungus infections, which, you know, how does that happen?
Is this the sugar clip?
No, 16.5 Ambril.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
And this commercial is 60 seconds long. There is 16.5 seconds
of commercial
sales pitch.
And the rest of it is death.
Death.
With rheumatoid arthritis, it seems like my life is split in two. There's the life I live.
And the life I want to live.
Supposed to be a man.
Fortunately, there's Embrel. Embrel can help relieve pain, stiffness, fatigue, and stop joint damage. Because Embrel suppresses your immune system, it may lower your ability to fight infections. Serious, sometimes fatal events, including infections, tuberculosis, lymphoma, and nervous system and blood disorders have occurred. Before starting Embrel, your doctor should test you for tuberculosis. Also, ask your doctor if you live in an area with a greater risk for certain fungal infections. Don't start Embrel if you have an infection like the flu. Tell your doctor if you're prone to infections, have cuts or sores, have had hepatitis B, have been treated for heart failure, or if, while on Embrel, you experience persistent fever, bruising, bleeding, or paleness. Ask your rheumatologist if Embrel is right for you and help bridge the gap between the life you live and the life you want to live.
I want that life.
Now, there's two interesting things about this. One is a woman's voice, then she says, the life I lead or the life I want to lead. They got a guy. I don't know what the hell he's doing in there. But here's the thing that's interesting that people could pick up on is that this is the only, for most of these commercials, they throw in the disclaimer, although rare, have occurred. This commercial does not say, although rare, at all.
Interesting.
So there's got to be some legal, there's probably some exact meaning to the term.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Although rare, meaning that it probably is rare. But if you don't use although rare, which they don't use in this commercial, that means you're just going to get this stuff.
Yeah. I also picked up on if you have the flu. Could this be another part of the binary theory that we have about the flu vaccine?
It's a possibility. They don't. But this thing just seems like really nasty stuff. I mean, if you can get funguses.
Well, what I don't like is there's none of the stuff that I actually like getting, like dizziness, hallucinations, suicidal tendencies. I mean, that's the stuff I want to take these drugs for. You know, I'm not getting any of that benefit. So I don't know if I would go on this drug, John.
Yeah. I always like the other thing at the end. See, ask your such and such if this is right
for you. Yeah. Hey, we need a jingle. Ask your family if No Agenda is right for you.
We should do, somebody has to do for us a No Agenda 1 minute ad that's like this.
Yeah.
It has a couple of good things, like 16 seconds stuff, and then all this craziness.
All the disclaimers. You may actually turn into a crackpot. Although rare, you might be shooing kids off your lawn. This would be great. Oh, please, audience of producers, please consider us in your next production. I would love it so much. There was another one of these huge articles that I want to look for. Well, first of all, why don't we do this? I think it's pretty clear what we do here. We assassinate the media. We pull apart the dribble and drab and the
natterers.
The nattering, nay-bobbing negativisms. And we expose the matrix that is being pulled over your eyes every single day. And the audience is growing. They're having a lot of trouble convincing people. But, you know, we're really getting somewhere. And we do a lot of work. We really do. And we hope you appreciate it. We're seeing on a daily basis people who are supporting us. Lots of people, by the way, who say, hey, you know, I'd really like to donate, but I don't have a job. Food comes first. Abso-frickin-lutely. Appreciate the email. Eat first, okay? For sure, eat first. And while you're eating, we're going to continue to help to tell you what you should and shouldn't be eating, like the shit that makes your brain shrink, like soy, all of the genetically modified crap. We're onto all of these stories. And really, we're doing nothing more than what cable news does. We're aggregating stories and bringing them to you, except we go for the really good reporting. We're not reporters ourselves, but the good reporting is being done. Sometimes you have to extrapolate it, and we need to debunk a couple of these stupid things like CSI. And we do it twice a week,
I'm looking at my show, my notes here for the show. I have 50 more stories I could do. I would love nothing more than to quit everything else I do and to work on this full time. I would do it 7 days. Well, no, I wouldn't. I do it. Fuck that. I'd do it 5 days a week. We need a weekend. I would do it 5 days a week.
Sorry?
Turn down your Mickey.
Yeah, turn down your Mickey.
Well, I also want to remind people that we come up with analysis that nobody else does, like the Roman Polanski thing, for example, is a good example.
And we have
nobody does this at all. Nobody.
And we have two points of view. You know, and it's right. You're not going to hear that on Rush Limbaugh. You know, and Glenn Beck. You're also not going to hear this on Bill Maher. You know, maybe we should be more racist like Bill Maher, and maybe then we get more listeners.
So I want to thank a few listeners. We had negative cash flow this week because I had to return all the money for the dinner that we had to cancel.
That blows.
So Todd Simmons in 8 Mile Plains, Australia, $100.69. That's a really good number. Troy Dallas of Australia, Quakers Hill, Australia. We had a lot of Aussies this week, $50.
Really?
James Briscoe, Bayshore, New York, $62.57, which means something. I can't remember what.
Wait. I've got to pay attention because two people sent me information.
Yeah, John Matthews sent us $89.90, which I believe is was a 1942 executive order authorizing welfare and something else.
Okay.
And he's in parts unknown. But anyway, $89.90 from John. Troy Angst, Langsburg, Michigan, $50. Alan Bose, Langley.
Uh-oh.
Langley. British Columbia. Langley, British Columbia, $50. Adams Atomic Engines, actually Rod Adams is the guy that runs it, $102.35, and he's in Annapolis, Maryland.
Oh, wait a minute. I know that one. Hold on. The reason why it's don't just gloss over $102.35. The reason is, hold on. $100 is the donation. The $235 is the atomic mass of an important uranium isotope.
Oh, he sent you this?
Yeah, because he knew you'd forget, even though it's in the PayPal message.
I didn't see it.
Of course you didn't. You're not looking.
So I wonder what Adams Atomic Engines does. Why don't you look it up?
Oh, no. I know. He's Atomic Rod. I know him very well. I can't
Atomic
tell you.
Atomic Rod? That's a great name.
Yeah, that's his name, Atomic Rod. No, this guy is an old-school Daily Source Code contributor.
Oh, okay.
He works for a service. I can't tell you which one. He knows everything about atomic energy. You want to know about backyard home nuclear power plants.
Right.
He knows all of this stuff. And he's worked on atomic submarines. The guy knows everything. He's a great resource for anything and all things nuclear energy. He's a big proponent of it. He's a good guy. Atomic Rod.
Okay. Well,
and thank you, Rod. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Rod, I need to get in touch with you for a Market Watch call.
And let me just say one other thing. Rod, thank you for your service and thank you for your donation, because I come from a big Gitmo Nation government service family.
Bert Burtons. And he's in, this is only our only Netherlands donation. I guess you're not getting in the news enough over there. But he's from Best. Is there a Best?
Yes, there's a place called Best. Absolutely.
Glenn McBride.
Wait, how much did he give? Because someone gave $50 and half of it was for, half of the donation was for himself and half was for his bonehead friend who hates us and doesn't believe it. And he donated for him anyway. I don't think it was the guy from Best.
Yeah. Glenn McBride, $60, Roanoke, and another $50 from BB Computers. Also, I noticed that last week I mispronounced Felix Schudel's name. I think I called him Schindel.
Oh, no.
And he's the guy in Zurich.
Schindel's
which
list.
Is where they arrested Polanski, which is where we came up with our own analysis of that. So, which you could probably bring out. You know, people who listen to the show can use that in their conversations at work. Now, go to No Agenda Show, noagendashow.com, and help us out, or dvorak.org/NA, and I have some new buttons up this week, and I'll take the dining room thing off. I have to use an FTP client that didn't work for some reason. Anyway, at noagendashow.com, we really appreciate your help, and especially people who send in the 20 and 14 and
that's beautiful.
5. It's
all
good.
A beautiful thing. And of course, you can still become a knight of the No Agenda Roundtable. Two ways to do it. One is by donating $1,000 right off the bat, and you basically get blowjobs from us. if you do that. If you go on the layaway plan, it's $50 a month.
Of course, it's a blowjob in the journalistic sense.
Yeah, well, of course. John.
Just saying. Just in case somebody takes us to court.
Why? HR issues?
These guys promised me a blowjob.
I'm like, you know, just like the doctor, what I'd rather pay him. Like, all right, come over here, boy. I'll take care of you. Just don't take me to court. Just don't sue me, okay? So was that it? Yeah, you said we had negative.
Yeah, we were
cash
short
flow.
This week. We needed a little more help. So go to noagendashow.com or also noagenda.squarespace.com or dvorak.org/NA. And that would be useful. We will put it to good use. Paying bills.
Yes. And we do have a few. So the I always try to end up with a zinger. I believe it was I gotta bring up my zinger link. Hold on a second. I believe it was the Columbia University. Hold on a second. University had the opportunity to investigate Adolf Hitler's skull. Did you?
No. You got me on this one.
You didn't hear about this one. Let me see which university it was. So they had this skull for, University of Connecticut. So they had the skull for like, half a day. And of course, the story goes that Hitler.
The skull's on tour?
It's on tour, opening up for Black Eyed Peas and Lady Hawk. And, there's a whole bunch. All of these links will be in the show notes at noagendashow.com. And so they did DNA testing on the skull. Now, the story, of course, is that Hitler shot himself in the head near his bunker so that, he couldn't be whisked away and prosecuted, etc. Turns out the skull could only have belonged to a woman under 40 years of age. Now, Hitler, of course, was like 56 when he suicided himself. And he certainly, as far as I know, was not a woman. So this, you've probably heard of Operation Paperclip, right, John?
No.
You haven't heard of Operation Paperclip?
Just go on with it. You always go, my God, you haven't watched that movie? You of all people.
Well, Operation Paperclip, you should Google that. I mean, it's a real thing. This is when they brought all the German scientists from Nazi Germany over to the United States to basically build the H-bomb. If you follow all of this logic, dude, you would almost...
They brought them over to build rockets.
Yeah, well, yeah, rockets.
But go on with the story.
But this included the nuclear technology. So now here's what the theorists are looking at. So what happened then is they took all of these Nazis and took them up to somewhere near the North Pole, and they built a base there, and this base. In fact, it had a name. This was Operation High Jump. Again, all these links, and this is like mainstream news links and historical documents that you can look at. The Nazis were up there building shit like the V-7 flying saucer. And Admiral Byrd actually documented in his journal. And again, this is all, historical fact, which of course has been buried for years and dug up by people around the internet. He actually, in his log, talks about flying over the North Pole, and all of a sudden, he comes into this space in the middle of the polar ice cap, where there's like animals, like mammoth-sized elephants or actual mammoths walking around. There's like green grass, and then there's two flying saucers with swastikas, as reported in his flight log, that fly next to him and force him down to the ground. And so this is, and you're going to love this, one of these flying saucers, because of course the Nazis, they were going to take over the world from their base in up near the North Pole. The U.S. actually shot one down, one of these flying saucer type planes, and guess where it landed? Roswell, Area 51. So,
ladies and gentlemen, you can't get this kind of material anyplace else. Noagendashow.com.
So The theory is the Nazis are still running the show. That's basically it.
All right.
But for those of you who are really into the fun stuff, take a look at the show notes. I'll put it all in there. And the end is near, my friends. In fact, I think the end already came for John.
I'm here.
Oh, my goodness. So,
got a lot of leftover clips.
Yeah, should we actually play those on Sunday? Will they still be valid?
Most of them are still relevant.
Okay. Right, I got tons of stuff to do. You?
I have to take a shower.
Yes, you do. Coming to you from the minimum security containment cell under pressing threat of the nay-bobbing negativism in Gibbo Nation West.
Nattering.
I'm Adam Curry.
And from Silicon Valley North, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We will be talking to you right here on Sunday with another episode of the media assassination known as No Agenda.